No, is it good? Yeah, okay. So this is one single value I can change, but I can also use a value that is realistic. Yeah, it takes time, I don't know why. Yeah, okay. This is
just slow.
Yeah, just slow. And this is one of these single values I have in this system, and another one is maybe this chain stay. And this is the view I want to talk about. What's important there is there are a lot of entries, there are radio buttons, and there's a preview there. And one of the main important points is that if I scroll here with the mouse on this value, this should update the preview immediately. And this also, if there are is a complex configuration in behind and how to deal with that, that's what I want to show you in this moment. In the next moments. What I also want to mention is that there is, for example, a value for the total length of this tube. It's visible here, here, and here. And the point is, if I modify this value, how does this interfere with the other presentation of the same value? One of the questions I want to deal with. Okay, so. This is the more theoretic view on the same thing. I have single values and I have a complex value. This is more a data set, a dictionary in this case, trying to describe this chain stay. And there are two important questions there. So I have a single values and a complex value, and I also have a history stack there. Yeah, and maybe this is the standard view for a single value. And in my case, I want to deal with this data set here. And what I already have shown you, this is this user interface. And to deal with this data set, there's an onconfig model for just for that. And all the updates that happens here just communicate with this model more than once, maybe. There is an own history stack just for that. One of the points is if I use a mouse wheel to modify one of these values. So each iteration counts up the history. So if I do a mouse wheel modification, so each iteration is one count more, so I end up with too much of them. But that's one of the questions. And this is, to be fair, this just should appear here, and this summary of modifications in this user interface should not affect that much in the main history stack. Yeah, if this is done, this data set is updated, and then I get an update of the view itself. So this is what we look at. So in more detail, this is one of the important questions, how to interact with the view and the model, how this is done. And also what I mentioned before is I have one value here, and this value appears more than once in the user interface. So this is relevant for the update events. The same is for the profile, which means the tube has, so once the view from this perspective and once from this side. So these are different views, and these values appear in any case in the user interface too. So what's intuitive for the user and consistent for the user has to be ensured in the data model in the background too, of course. And the update of the preview should happen instantly. So one modification of these entries should update this view itself. I took some inspirations from these concepts. I don't go into the details. What I want to mention, I borrowed the idea of the view model, and from the Redux concept, the store and immutable states and to be unidirectional. That's important for the event handling at the end. So, this one view is splitted in different sub-views. So you remember the profile base and the profile perpendicular. There's also one part for the centerline, the preview itself, and there are some control elements. And also history there. And also, once again, this single value that appears in different views. And the question is how to handle this in a safe way. Once back to the user interface, mainly there are enters and there are radio buttons. The entry in my solution has an entry validate, so just to check if the value in this entry is correct, so it should not be negative in the real world in the case of tubes. And then I have key bindings and also have some bindings on the mouse, especially the mouse wheel is very important, or the pointer to see. Yeah, this is the color for the entries, and this set value and set config is the interface from the view to the model itself. These are two additional buttons. So the solution I have in my approach is I introduced something like a view model with a store, some important procedures. So each call from the view ends up with a dispatch in the view model. So one centric approach. So this two procedures from the view. If I change this value here, the dispatcher is called. Yeah, there are some procedures going up one by another. Yeah, the point, the most important point is that the view event sends an action to the view model, which is a data set containing the type of the action that happens and a payload. In this case, it's the name of the value to be adapted and the value itself. And this action is passed through all the future procedures. So the model, which cares about the consistency of the data set, of the description, uses this action to control this data set or to modify it in any way. Then it comes back to the view model itself, and there's a controller or a control namespace there, or reducer, which adapts these results to in this way so that the views afterwards can use this result to render themselves. And yeah, when the state is completely created, it's stored in the store, of course, and afterwards the view is notified that there are changes, and the view takes back the last state to be shown in the view. Yeah, and the GUI is rendered once again. So once again to this different concepts, this subviews, this is the state as a data set, a dictionary. So there is one branch out of this complete state describing all the information or containing all the information that's necessary to render this part of the user interface. The same happens for the profile, and in the other way also the same for this control element of the view. Yeah, once again, this value can appear once, more than just once. So I already mentioned that for this user interface there's an own history stack, and this is easy to implement because each new state is just a new entry in the store. So I just have to pass through the stacks in the store and can deal with them. And the point is, as already known, if the state is in the store, the user interface is notified and it takes back the state from the store. Yeah. So I hope they're in time.
Absolutely in time.
Yeah.
So, is there any questions?
Have you considered using variable traces?
Yeah.
I mean, if you change a variable, you can define afterwards. If you change this variable, call this procedures
yeah, yeah.
to update other places. I think it
yeah.
was a, it was called in ancient time active values.
Mm.
I mean, if you change the value, how should it trace back to the sources?
One of the points is then you have an event on the variable,
yeah.
and you have also events on the decay elements, and you
yes.
don't want to interfere. And that was one of the biggest challenges in this topic. So I don't have
mm-hmm.
variable traced.
Mm-hmm.
I do everything about the decay elements and trace the changes there
mm-hmm.
from there.
Well, it should be quite similar actually. Yeah. I mean, variable trace is more general because
yeah,
it doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter from where you change this
yeah.
variable, but it has always the same effect.
Yeah, one of the challenges is if you do the mouse wheel scrolling
yeah.
on these entries, they do not really call an event. That just updates the field itself.
Yeah.
So you have to yeah, call it from the variable on one hand. Or, yeah, that's the one point. The second point is if you have something like a focus out of an entry. So if you move your mouse, your pointer across the complete screen you have, so each entry fires an event. So you have to handle with that, and it comes to some complexity.
But this is a UI, this is a decay event afterwards,
yeah.
you're fighting with. But the variable event is easier.
Yeah, I know, but I have to decide to take one.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they interfere with each other, and events are not that easy to handle in a decay, because if you have more than one event on one element, you have to take care about which event is fired first.
No, I think also with the mouse wheel, there's a
yeah.
danger that you have a string of many events
yeah.
that you don't really care about, actually.
Yeah.
And one thing we did once in the user interface
yeah.
is just to delay.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some changes in the last second, whatever,
yeah.
or 2 seconds, you can configure it. But after this 1 second afterwards, you just fire the real event,
yeah.
which is afterwards time intense. Therefore, the events don't pile up. You
yeah.
have at the end the final value and you push it on that.
Yeah, maybe one approach is important to that. After each update, all the values in the user interface are updated.
Yeah.
So each update also trace an event. So if I set the value the variable to a new value, if there's a trace on it, I have a change to handle.
Yeah.
So in this moment, when I update the complete user interface, I don't want to fire them any events.
You need source variables and target variables.
Maybe
otherwise,
that's it.
Otherwise,
yeah.
you will need to fire.
Yeah. yeah. So in this case, I extract nearly the complete logic out of the view, put it in the view model in the store in the state, and when rendering the interface, I take the pre-compiled variables and values. To render the user interface again.
Andreas?
Hat sich größtenteils.
Ja, okay. Tibor?
Yes. It's fun to see you had some thoughts about entry validation as well. I think for me, as we will probably see tomorrow, it was not enough to have just this validate command because I wanted to do the time to generate and so. To roll back to the last valid value, etc. when you move out to focus. But one question I have is regarding undo and redo.
Yeah.
What happens if you do some undos
yeah.
and then perform another editing action? Do you lose the redo history as most programs today do?
Yeah, I go back to this point that I visualize now.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a modification there, I throw away the branch I had before
yeah.
and continue from here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's quite easy with this state
yeah. and
concept.
Nothing. One thing is you probably don't use the variable options of widgets either. Or
I use it in the case when I update the values.
Yeah.
So I know which variables behind each entry. So okay. I can use it to update the.
You
the
just write it to a special
just
variable
it,
and
yeah.
know that the agent.
No events on it.
Watch it. Okay. So that's one thing. And there was a second thing. I guess scrolling is not the only way to modify the value. So
yeah,
I would assume that you can also click into it and
yeah.
maybe make it clear it out, then it's empty, then it has an invalid value, for example.
Yeah.
Or maybe this, let's say it's an agent that even allows negative values, that
yeah.
some whatever, some difference can be negative. And then you type minus, and it's still not a valid number, so
yeah.
how do you handle these cases?
This was the validate command. So I have it. Events, sorry. I need a event handling for that. The decal entry
yeah.
has one entry validate.
Yeah.
And this
just
cares about the color as a feedback to the user if the
mm-hmm.
entry is valid or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Just that.
I see, okay, so it turns it orange to see now it's a broken value here.
Yeah, so in this case, minus 22 is
mm-hmm. okay.
not a valid value. And let's
no,
say the other way around. The
mm-hmm.
problem occurred or appeared when I introduced the mouse wheel.
Yeah,
that was
then you had lots of changes.
Yeah,
in
of course.
The
and then I had to care about a strategy, how to handle this in a good manner.
But if you change 22 to minus 22 and it's orange, is it still written to history?
No. The point is, I call the current solution. I call the view model, pass it to the model, try to compute it
yeah.
and get back an error, and in this case I do not update the state of the store.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I have
yeah.
the last one and
okay,
just
so
update it with the last state.
Okay, and if some invalid value happens during editing, maybe I write 1000 and but the value 1 itself is out of range, it should start at 100, for example. Then I type 1, I type 0, it's still invalid, and type another 0.
Yeah.
So it takes a while until the edit control is in a valid range,
yeah.
for example.
That's one important point. Don't misuse the validate command to update something.
Yeah, that's
the most important part. And the update happens based on this binding. So if I enter a key,
yeah.
that's one point. If I use a double click, it's the other point.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I focus out of the entry, because you can enter an entry, type in something, and with your tab,
move
jump to the next
yeah.
one, and you has no updates on that. So
that.
Therefore you need to focus out for this. And your point was about this key.
So, yeah, yes,
that's
if
not
you
a
type key,
yeah.
but while typing keys, you start
yeah.
have invalid in between states. Yeah,
yeah. So therefore, it's the validate command which blocks just
the progress.
The updates.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Thibault?
Yes, my last question, I think, about the mouse wheel. And does every step you take with the mouse wheel
yeah.
produce one item in the inner history?
Yeah.
So of the parameter style of it.
I think I hear a question. So where is it? Here. When the store is dispatched to add a new state,
mm-hmm.
I have an after event there. So this is in this case, in this moment, an asynchronous happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wait 1 second and then compare if the current state is different to the previous, and I just add a new state if there's a difference. So I can handle maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 mouse wheel actions before I add one state to the store.
There is also the modification that maybe if you press shift and scroll, that it will go minor steps, so you have less moving, for example, if you want a value change very
yeah.
strong.
Now this is another point. This is responsible for I have to update the preview immediately.
Yeah.
But I don't have to update the state for each single step.
Ah, okay. So.
So therefore. Yes.
But my question, the last question was on top of it. If one has to wants to scroll a value to a big difference,
yeah,
then maybe some modifier key could improve the speed of scrolling. For example, not the speed of scrolling, could increase the delta that is added with each scroll.
Yeah, I don't care about these values because I have this time limit in between. So you can
just for the user, he says, okay, here's 10, maybe here's 1,000, I want to go to 1,500,
yeah,
and then I scroll and I see it scrolls single steps up, then it's frustrating.
Yeah, if he wants. But he can also enter just the value he wants and hit enter.
Okay,
yeah,
so in that case,
yeah,
he will switch to that.
So I developed something fun for that purpose. So usually you have decimal numbers, and the best thing would be if you scroll on the part past the decimal points, you do small steps, and if you do you scroll in front of the decimal points, you do big steps, or left and right.
Ah, depending on where you
I would suggest that as a UI standard, because I think it's so nice to have different step sizes.
Yeah, in this case, it is depending on the value itself. So if it's less than 5, you have smaller steps. If it's less than 10, bigger.
Ah,
and
you make
more than 100, you
make the steps relative to the total size.
To the current
value. Also a solution in the player.
Mm-hmm. Better yes.
In your case, in your suggestion,
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm sorry. I will stop it now.
Later.
So later on. So please make Java our TK wizard aware of all those great ideas.